This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, could we finally be seeing better physical connectivity in Sabah and Sarawak? Well, Works Minister Baru Bian has said yesterday that the government is committed to building the 4,000-kilometre Trans-Borneo Highway. And this is a road that will link remote areas in Sabah and Sarawak all the way to the new Indonesian capital in East Kalimantan.
So this is the first time there will be complete connectivity between Sabah, Sarawak, Brunei and Kalimantan. The highway is expected to bring social, economic benefits and, of course, physical development to more than 100,000 people in Borneo. Now, to make the Trans-Borneo Highway possible, Baru Bian said that the government has already allocated 600 million ringgit under Budget 2020 for infrastructure in Serundong, which is actually the last town in Sabah before one crosses the border to East Kalimantan.
And of course, Indonesia also has plans to build highways in Kalimantan to connect to Serudong. So for some analysis on what this highway means for the Borneo economy, we turn this morning to Firdausi Sufian, a political economist with UITM Sabah. Thank you for joining us, Firdausi. Now, the Trans-Borneo Highway can be seen as an extension of the current Pan-Borneo Highway, which remains in progress. But what are some of the main problems that have hampered the completion of the Pan-Borneo Highway thus far?
Well, there are many factors, though. Number one, when you want to connect, you know, the whole state and then you want to develop new roads, of course, you have land issue, you want to relocate the villager to other place. So all this involves, some are involved with legal issues because some people, they don't want to be relocated, right? Well, some, they agree, but also you have to give some compensation. So this one may take some time. And also, there are certain places might probably be difficult when you want to build roads because of environmental issue and because of the land structure issue and geographical issue. But overall, if you look at it so far, the progress is all right. You're looking at like 20%. Last year was 15%, and this year it's like 25%+ for Sabah, while Sarawak is already around 30%. Completion of the road.
And let's talk about the potential economic impact of the Trans-Borneo Highway. Now, how do you see this impacting the economic ties between Malaysia and Indonesia?
All right, this is very important. So this is what actually most Sabahan and also Sarawak, East Malaysian people try to look at and try to explore the potential. Because for the past 56 years, both states suffer from uneven development. Because of low trade activity, there's a lot of unexplored economic activities. Now, when there's a relocation of a capital city, when President Jokowi decided on the 26th of August, so this is a great opportunity that we cannot lose it. Because, number one, East Kalimantan, the GDP is around 43,000 ringgit Malaysia per capita. Well, Sabah is around 23,000 plus, and Sarawak too, 25,000 plus. If you look at the labor force in East Kalimantan too, they are like a very young labor force. It's around 32 or 35 years old. So meaning to say people are active. So this is the opportunity for us to explore, to tap the potential, especially in terms of complementing our trade in Sabah and Sarawak.
So how then can the government best leverage on this opportunity?
Now, in order to do so, there are a few things that we have to look at as well. Because when you look at Sabah, especially Sabah, because Sabah is the closest when you talk about East Kalimantan, for us to move forward, to take advantage of this relocation, I will look at from domestic political economy first. So Sabah and East Kalimantan, they have the same economic profile. They have palm oil, they have a very good fisheries industry, wood, and agriculture too. So in order to tap this opportunity in Sabah, the first thing that we need to do is to upgrade our downstream industry, right? In order to link up the economic value chain between Kalimantan and also Sabah.
So what are the main challenges you see in advancing the East Malaysian economy then?
But there are the issues as well that we have to look at, institutional issues. Like, for instance, number one, like foreign trade, when you talk about international trade, it falls under the federal government, right? So I think the federal government has to give some empowerment for Sabah. The interesting part with Indonesia too in East Kalimantan, even though they are like us too, but when it comes to empowerment to the state, to the local government, they are somehow far better than us. So this is important. This is an important point too, because they can decide on their own. Well, Sabah and Sarawak, well, we have this federal state relationship. I call it a bit, a bottleneck, right? But perhaps the state government, but the federal government has to give some way of, really focus, reprioritize the economic development for states in Malaysia to put the priority to take to explore the trade ties in East Kalimantan.
And speaking of governments, Firdausi, what's your assessment then of the government's commitment to develop East Malaysia, particularly in Sabah, where you're based?
Well, so far, if you look at Budget 2020, they put a lot of development funds for Sabah too. Then they also say that, I mean, the Pan Borneo Highway is a very important project, because if you don't have good connectivity, road connectivity, it definitely will not help economic activities. Right, but if you say a clear policy, like a clear budget to help develop, they didn't spell it out. But under the budget, they did say like they give special incentives if you invest in least developed state like Sabah, and then they also give, I think this time they give 5.2 billion ringgit for Sabah, which is I guess the highest ever recorded for the past decade. So I guess that is a sign that they show. But that's one thing, you give budget. But at the same time, in terms of administration, it goes back to institution too, in terms of administrative, so they have to pay more attention, number one. Because it's in their shared prosperity vision too in SPV 2030, because they say that they want to address uneven development between states. And this is their time. This is their time to show to the Sabah and Sarawak government and people that they are serious about it by prioritize the prioritize and prepare for the relocations of East Kalimantan and build strong ties with the East Kalimantan counterpart.
Thank you so much, Firdausi. And that was Firdausi Sufian, political economist with UITM Sabah. And at the end there, he was talking a little bit about Budget 2020 and some of the allocations that have been made towards Sabah and Sarawak, particularly for development. And we did have a call with Chung Jensen of Alliance DBS about this just last week.
Yeah, he highlighted that the development expenditure for each of the states is close to 5 billion ringgit. And of course, if you look at actually Sarawak, it's actually a closed market in terms of contractors, because you need to be a local player. So some of the names that potentially could benefit and are actually benefiting from this Pan-Borneo Highway, and of course when it becomes the Trans-Borneo Highway, some of the construction names there that you could see even more order book would be the names like CMS, NIME, Hock Seng Lee, because those are the domestic players there. And yeah, for sure, there's a lot of development potential in these two states.
And if you want to listen to that full conversation, you can find it on the BFM app as well as on Spotify.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.